Welcome to the Creative Rise podcast, where we believe you deserve to break the creative struggle, and it should be simple.
We are so grateful you're here with us today. Let's dive in.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode. I'm very excited. I've been excited all day to record this. Like, we started talking about, well, hey, what do we want to make a podcast on?
I've been talking this about this for days.
But yeah, this is like so exciting. Like, you were actually, quick spoiler to our personal life, she was at a birthday lunch. It is 2:22 in the afternoon. She was at a birthday lunch. And I was like, I just can't wait for Christy to come home. One, because I love her and I love when she's home. But two, I can't wait to record this podcast because I'm like super excited about what we are going to be talking about.
Yeah. And I don't think a lot of people talk about, people talk about pricing and, you know, when to raise your prices and when can you do that. And I feel like not a lot of people talk about maybe what are the factors that happen when your pricing's too low, other than just not making a lot of money. Mm. And that there's actually some things associated with your brand and some things that you may not realize is actually caused by low pricing. Mm. So I'm excited to jump into
Totally. We are talking about this because last week we kicked off our 6-week Creative Rise Mastermind, which was so fun. The round 11 of the Creative Rise 6-week Mastermind has officially launched. 31 businesses from all over Canada, Australia, the US, New Zealand, Germany, and Switzerland. Like, people from all over the world, all going, how do we help each other build better businesses in 6 weeks? Christy and I are leading that community. It has been a blast, but this conversation actually came from one of our coaching calls where someone brought this up and I was like, oh my gosh, like that, we need to do a podcast on that. I don't know if we've ever done a podcast on this, but it was a topic that was so good on the call that I was like, we should probably talk about this with a lot of people. Hence why it is now a podcast topic of conversation. But to kick off this podcast, we thought we'd go over a couple wins because we love updating you on wins that people inside of the Creative Rise Mastermind community are getting. And there has been some great wins in the last 7 days. So in the last 7 days alone, here's what happened. Number one, we had a kickoff call with all of our new members, US, Canada, New Zealand, Australia, Switzerland, and Germany. We dropped all the modules for week one. Everybody started to go through those inside of our private video module library that only Mastermind members get access to. We had rules of building a six-figure offer, how to build your six-figure offer, the art of problem solving, finding your bottom line number, which is a pricing thing, and then pricing strategy for brands and commercial stuff, and then pricing strategy for weddings. So we covered a lot in week one, really foundational, important stuff. And it has been so cool to see people building out their offers, really dialing how they're going to be six-figure offers, cleaning them up, asking for feedback on them. We've gotten so many messages, so many conversations with people going, hey, if you had to change this even more to make it better, what would you do? So it has just been a fun week.
So
really, really fun week. And then we had our strategy calls with each and every single person to really help them build their offers, pricing structures, and their growth plans for 2024. And then it just keeps going on. We had our group call on Thursday, and then we had some big wins. So it has been a heater of a week, a phenomenal week, a very busy week for Christy and I, but a fulfilling, super energizing, super fun week.
Let's give some of those wins.
Let's give some of the wins. So real quick, these are not all the wins. These are just a few of them. I just picked a few of the highlight wins. So Owen from Native Release booked $13,500 in new deals in the last 7 days in the brand space, which is incredible. Ashley sold a full day media package, which is a really cool thing she does in the personal brand space as a photographer and filmmaker, for $2,800 for the day. Taylor Caruso went door to door, literally knocking. She's like, hey, I'm new to the state. What should I do? She started going door to door, knocking on businesses' doors and asking them about their social presence. And she locked down a new retainer for $2,000 a month from going door to door. So shout out to Taylor. Devin Rogers locked in a one-day shoot for $2,400. It's a great takeaway for one day's worth of work. And then John Coronado locked in a new wedding at $5,000. And we actually want to park the bus there on the last one, because we had this exact conversation that we're about to talk with you about on the podcast with John, which led to him getting this new booking. He is a unbelievably talented wedding photographer.
Incredible.
He owns a studio called Coronado Photo and Film that does weddings down in Florida.
Come up.
They are so good. He is the owner of this company. They their work is out of this world. He's been shooting for years, I think like 5 or 6 years. He shot 40 weddings last year. I mean, the dude is killing it in the wedding industry. Yet he's still looking for ways to improve his business and grow his business. Yeah. And this was a topic of conversation, and we had a really fun conversation with him about this.
Yeah, it was so cool. He was kind of talking us through his pricing and all that stuff. And we looked at his prices and we're like, dude, it's time to raise your prices. Yeah. Like, we were asking some questions, all that kind of stuff. And he was showing us like, hey, here's what I used to be pricing. You know, I was around like $4,200 for a middle package. And we're, and $4,200 is amazing, right? That's like a great, that's a great wage for a wedding day.
That's solid, yeah.
For sure. But with what he was doing and the amount of weddings he was doing and all that stuff, he's like, I need to scale back. I did like 40 weddings last year. Let's scale it back. And we were like, dude, you could easily raise your prices. And so he bumped up his package and he was kind of afraid because, again, it's it can be concerning to raise your prices. It can be kind of scary.
For sure.
He bumped up his package to $5,000, his middle package. Literally the next day, books a wedding at the new pricing. And he's like, whoa.
And he's
the
like, reason, that was easy.
The reason we were talking and we were like, hey, we noticed that the conversion rates of what you're doing, we actually think you are experiencing something. It's a syndrome, we call it, in the pricing space called red flag pricing. Now, what this is, and maybe this is something that you're dealing with right now, is if your prices are too low, usually people always think it goes this way. If my prices are low, I'm going to book a ton of people, right? Like, oh, I'm not booking a lot. Like, let me lower my prices, right? And so people get to the race to the bottom and they think, oh, I'll lower my prices, I'll book more people. But what can happen, especially if you're in a semi-luxury space similar to weddings or in the brand space or something that if it's a service that people that really, really care about what they're going to get, sometimes when you lower your prices, you enter into red flag pricing zone. And when that happens, people get afraid. So if your prices are too low and you find that you're not booking as many people as you used to book, it could be because your prices look like a red flag. They have maybe reached out to four other people that are have similar deliverables to you, and they're going, okay, this
similar
person,
styles of work,
similar
quality.
Style, and they go, okay, why are you so much cheaper than everybody else that I reached out to? Why are you $1,000 cheaper, $2,000 cheaper, $4,000 cheaper, right? And so if you're looking at someone and going, oh, this person's my obvious pick, and then you reach out to that person amongst the other people you reached out to, and they're way lower, that's a red flag in their opinion, right? I think this happens to more wedding photographers than people realize. I think more wedding photographers are out there are actually undercharging and they think it's going to get them more work when in actuality, it's pushing people away. Because if they look and they go, hey, you know what? Your photos are amazing. It looks like the quality, the experience. You seem like a cool person. Why is this so cheap? What am I missing out on if I choose them? And you don't want people thinking that. And this is where pricing is not just about pricing. Pricing is branding, right? Pricing is branding. Your brand should match your prices just like your prices should match your brand. People spend a ton of time figuring out their brand, making it look high-end, having it be super quality, really narratively directed towards the ideal client, and then all of a sudden their prices don't match. That's a red flag.
Yep. That was good. We could end the podcast right there.
Cut it.
That was really good.
No, but I'm saying like that is what I think a lot of people need to
so think about. Pricing is branding is really the theme of what Christy just said that we want you to take away. So just to get into branding for a second, because we all know what pricing is. Pricing is obviously what you charge for the value you are providing. Branding is the way I experience this and the way that I explain this as a brand strategist is brand is your reputation. It is how you are experienced as a whole. So how somebody experiences your service, how they experience you through email, how they experience you on social, how they experience you, you know, with your logos, your colors, your fonts, all that stuff. How they experience the way people talk about you, that's branding as well.
Yeah.
Branding is just everything, right? It's the experience that is you, that is your business. And so your pricing is a very important aspect of that, as Christy said.
Yeah.
And it has to be positioned well. So great example. And I know the point's already been driven home, but let's just pull it back and give you another example, not in the creative industry. Let's say you rock up onto a car lot, you're buying a new car, and you go, hey, yeah, I'm looking for a Toyota RAV4. And they're like, awesome, man. Yeah, we got a couple of those. Let me show you a few. Yeah. Okay, cool. So we got a 2019 over here and a 2019 over here. Let me show you this first one. The first one is, oh, actually, they're side by side in the lot. This first one right here, 2019, it's driven, you know, 100,000 miles. It's great. It's this package. And that's selling for $15,500. And then you go over here and it's like, yeah, so this one is also 2019, same package, actually the same amount of miles driven on it, but this one's selling for $8,500. You probably wouldn't look at that and go, oh my gosh, give me the $8,500 one. Your first thought is probably going to be, hold on a second, what am I potentially getting myself into with this cheaper car?
Yeah.
They should be similar in value. They should be similar in price. Mm-hmm. Yet why is this one so cheap?
Yeah.
It doesn't look like a deal. Lower pricing more often than not in our businesses as creatives, as photographers and filmmakers, does not make people look at us and go, oh my gosh, what a deal. It often makes people look at us and go, what am I missing out on? Yeah. Why is their value potentially lower? Therefore, they're able to charge lower for it. Like, what am I missing out on versus if I spend more, am I going to get a better result? Can I trust what I can spend more money on, right? Yeah. That's another reason why people love to spend more money on things, even though they can get the same thing. Why do people buy a Porsche when you can buy a really nice, not Porsche, but it's still a nice car for like $30,000 cheaper? Yeah. Well, it's because there's obviously status and there's some other things, and that is a part of pricing is branding. But there's also just like, you feel like what you're getting is more trustworthy. It's better parts. It should last longer. It should run better, right? And then there's the whole status conversation, which we can touch on in a second.
Yeah, and I think somebody maybe is sitting there going, wait, no, I would take the $8,000 RAV4. Like, I would have no questions asked. I just want the best deal. And there are people out there that are like that. And the thing that you have to think about is, okay, but what is the mindset of somebody who's coming in and inquiring of your services, and who do you want to be attracting? If you're someone who's like, okay, I've budgeted for my wedding that I want to spend, you know, $6,000 on my wedding photographer. You've already decided, you've camped out on that number. You're like, sick, this is going to be awesome because I really care. I want someone high end. And then again, you go and, you know, inquire with a bunch of wedding photographers, and then someone comes back at $2,000. That type of person who wants the quality experience is going to go, no, $2,000, absolutely not. So, but there will be people out there who will go, $2,000, sick, what a deal. However, my question to you is, do you want to be working with people like that? In my personal opinion, the more I raised my prices, the better my client experiences were. Not what I was providing necessarily, but what I was receiving from them, right? The more people put skin in the game, aka money, into your service, the more they're going to have skin in the game to actually care, to actually probably respect what you're doing, and to view you as an authority. If you're pricing as a budget, like give me a chance type of photographer, you're going to get the respect of what people are paying for, right? Whereas if your prices are higher, you're going to be attracting a higher clientele who, in a lot of ways, sometimes respects more of what you're doing, trusts more of what you're doing. I'm not saying that's always the case. You always can have, you know, hard clients in either space. But my experience, and so many of the people around me, is that the more you raise your prices, the better your experience has become with your clientele.
Totally. And then let's go even a little bit further. So you're talking about how from a experience level, people want to be able to trust that what they're buying is actually going to be what they want, which is why sometimes people buy things that are more expensive. But let's even just go into the status question of this.
Oh, yeah.
Because the status question is huge. And I was just thinking about this. Hopefully this is a good analogy. I haven't even ran this past you. But like, let's say you go into a camera shop. We're shooting this currently on a Canon R6 Mark II. Let's say we go into a camera shop, and when I was looking to buy this camera, there was a Canon R6 Mark II right here, or a Canon R5.
No, I already agree with this.
Okay, I got a Canon R5 right here in my hands, if you're watching this on video. Canon R5, 70 to 200, right? 100. This is probably about a $5,500 setup. So right here, this is sitting on a shelf, and I'm inquiring about a camera like this. And the guy goes, great, yeah, I got this option for you. And then he goes, oh, but there's also this other option. It has the same specs, shoots the same quality video, same megapixel photo, same weight, everything's like identical, but this one, instead of it being $5,000 for the setup, this one over here is $3,600. Do you want that one? I'd probably be like, yeah, I mean, I'll look at it, but I would still probably leave that camera store going, I want the Canon one. From a, I can trust it more, it's more of a reputable brand, but it's also a status piece, right? Like people, Canon shooters, I swear half Canon shooters don't even know what their cameras shoot. They're just like, oh, it's Canon glass, or it's Canon whatever.
It's got the red line.
It's the Canon colors. And it's like, great, those are all great things. But they say those things because they're trying to associate themselves with the brand as a form of status. And that is what brand is, right? Brand is quite literally imprinting things on us that give us a reputation. Oh, I shoot Canon because if you know that I shoot Canon, you think something about me. You either think my qualities are a certain standard, or my images, or whatever, right? So that is the same thing with your pricing, right? Mm-hmm. When someone comes to you, especially for something as significant as their wedding day, there's no human on the face of the earth that actually wants to cheap out. Now, there's people that will be cheaper due to their budgets, but no one wants to go, my goal is to get it for as cheap as humanly possible, and I don't really care if the experience is there. I just want it to be cheap.
And no, if people are going, like that, then you probably might not
want
to work with them.
You don't want to work with them, right? You want the people that are like, I'm going to pay whatever I need to pay because I want to get that person because I can trust them. Their service is incredible. I love their work. And I also just want the status of saying that person shot my wedding, right? Yeah. That is where you want your brand to be in order for people to respond that way. And the only way to do that is by using pricing as a brand structure in order to curate a brand that you can actually do that with.
So I would ask yourself, am I a red flag pricing, or am I like this misrepresented pricing where I'm getting hired by a lot of people, but the experience just seems to not be great on both sides. And it just seems like, I feel like I'm the budget person. Mm. Let's lift up the pricing, get your pricing to match your brand. And now here's what I want to say is, if you are someone who's like, I'm in, I'm going to go out and raise my prices tomorrow, I'm going to double my prices, I'm going to 10x my prices, whatever it is, awesome. However, let me also tell you this. Again, pricing is branding, but branding is pricing. You need to raise your level of experience, and your not experience of years of doing it, but the client experience of what they go through. That needs to match, right? If you're going to raise your prices to being a, you know, six-figure wedding photographer, you need to raise your brand and your experience that you give to people to match that pricing. You cannot stay as looking like a budget photographer, but then all of a sudden your prices have gone jacked up, right? You can't do that. You have to raise them both at the same time. So make sure that if you're raising your prices, you're also increasing either value or the client experience or the overall look of your brand or the communication of your brand. Make sure it matches your new pricing, or else things will start to fall flat, and that is not where you want to be.
Yeah, same thing for brands. If you want to charge $7,000 for a brand campaign, $10,000, we did one 2-3 months ago. It was a $14,500 brand shoot. If you want to do that, your experience has got to resemble that, right? If you want to get paid to sell your services like you are a Porsche, then your Porsche has got to look like a Porsche. Yeah. Can't be driving around looking like a Honda Civic, right? Yeah. It's got to be like that. So guys, hope this episode was just so helpful for you. Hopefully it sparked a new way of thinking for you about how pricing is branding. And I love how you said this. Pricing is branding, but branding is also pricing, right? Yeah. How you brand your business can dictate if people look at your pricing and go, oh yeah, that makes sense. But at the same time, how you price your pricing also can dictate how they view your brand, which is so interesting. So branding is pricing, yet pricing is branding. Run with that this week. I really hope that you can implement this into your business so you can be getting better results, not only in how people experience you and how excited they are to work with you, but you're also getting paid what you should be getting paid because you understand branding is pricing and pricing is branding. So if you love this episode, share it with a friend. We'd love if you do that. It's the best way the show grows, but more importantly, that's the best way for people like you to also get more of this stuff because they start listening to the podcast. So if you know anybody that's like you, it's a photographer, a filmmaker, a creative who's looking to hit six figures and beyond in their business, and they need to be focusing on the business side, send them the show. We'd love if you do that. Yeah. And also, we haven't pitched this on the podcast in a while, but one of the other best ways for the show to grow is if you leave a written review. So you can go on Apple Podcasts and just literally scroll all the way down to the bottom, give us a rating, and then write a written review about what you're enjoying about the show. We'd, one, love to hear from you. It'd be great to see who you guys are listening, connect with you there. And it's also just much appreciated because it helps the show continue to grow so we can reach more people like you and continue to help them figure out that pricing is branding and branding is pricing. So make sure you go share around.
Awesome. Thanks, guys, for listening, and we'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We were so happy to have you here.
And do not forget to jump onto iTunes, give us a 5-star rating, and write a written review. That would mean the world to us. And we'll catch you next time on the Creative Rise podcast, where we believe you deserve to break the creative struggle, and it should be simple. Peace.